Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is the last day of April and it's going to hit 23 degrees in a number of areas this afternoon from Dublin right across the Midlands and into the West. Who's wearing shorts out there? It is sunscreen season, so slap it on, why don't you? The current record, by the way, for the highest temperature set in April, 25.8 degrees in Glenties in Donegal, way back 26th of April, 1984. Hey, so look out for that. It could be 30 degrees in London, I was reading as well. Tomorrow, we couldn't be dealing with that at all now. We wouldn't be up for that. Get in touch before we start talking about drought conditions. The WhatsApp is 087 032 32 32, and you can tell us how the tricks are on the email as well, oliver@rte.ie. And it is pure storytelling weather. So that's what we're doing today. We have a woman coming into us who noticed loneliness creeping in across the land in the last couple of years with the job that she was doing. And so she set up one of those social businesses, social enterprises, they call them, you know, and it gets people out of the house, gathered around in places to tell stories to each other. It's called Crackly Stories. And it can happen in farms and it can happen in gardens and sometimes now in historic houses. So she's collaborating with a group there as well with some dinner. So you could pay just anything from 15 quid up to 70 for the full works and all that in between. So we'll hear the story of how that all began as well with Jane Gormley, who's coming into us. 51551 is the text. And perhaps someone will tell us a little story themselves along the way, because all of these tales are sewn together in advance for the maximum entertainment and to make sure everyone knows what they're at before they open their mouths, which is a very good idea indeed. Some good news for Irish people on the world stage coming home to celebrate with us. The Abbey Theatre and the National Theatre of Britain have announced a co-production of Tom Murphy's A Whistle in the Dark, and that's by director Katrina McLaughlin, and she's also going to direct Sing's Playboy of the Western World in the National Theatre in London last year, but it has starry names attached. Paul Mescal and Nicola Coughlan will be in those two separate shows in the Irish and London stage. Paul Mescal is going to star in Tom Murphy's A Whistle in the Dark. That is not going to happen in the Abbey until 2027, which is kind of extraordinary. It's already run in the National Theatre in London, and you can't wait for that obviously to happen. But instead, in the meantime, Nicola Coughlan of Derry Girls and Bridgerton and all of the things in between is appearing in Sing's Playboy. That's going from December to February of next year. December this year to February next year. And that's happening in London. And it's got a very starry cast. Siobhan McSweeney, who we'll see in The Traitors of Ireland later on in the year. And Declan Conlon, also from everything. You've seen him in everything, basically. Aina Hardwick, of course, is going to be playing Roy Keane in the Saipan film opposite Steve Coogan soon. And Marty Ray, friend of the programme as well. So that's all very exciting. And it's kind of noticeable that we rebooted Irish plays, Brian Friel and Sing and Mary Manning and everything between, up until the middle of the noughties, and then it sort of has stopped for 20 years until now. And the Abbey is at the forefront, and the Gate as well, throwing plays. And don't forget the regional theatres all around the country do incredible work too. The Donegal Daily now has a different take on all of this. Karen Dunne's Katrina McLaughlin is directing Paul Mescal and Nicola Coughlan in major productions. She's from... she's from Carndonagh, obviously, up in Donegal, in a show and director, award-winning at Katrina. So she's directing both of those plays, basically, because it's 2026 and 2027. Let's hope now the ticket prices don't end up like what's happening in Broadway, where people are paying thousands to see Oscar-nominated stars in play. So there are the Irish people doing very, very well on the world stage. Kneecap is also in the news today. That's the rap band from Belfast doing great things on the world stage. Until now, they're in a spot of bother. And the British newspapers are continuing to follow the controversy, which we thought was abating a little bit yesterday because of an apology. It's all about, for anyone catching up, footage from 2023 where one person in the group is seen saying the only good Tory is a dead Tory. Kill your local MP. This has understandably caused outrage across Britain because the memories are very fresh there. The Labour MP, Joe Cox, was shot and stabbed in 2016. David Amos was stabbed to death in his constituency. He's a Tory MP in 2021. Families are appalled. And on this morning's BBC Radio 4 Today programme, very prominent programme for setting the agenda across there, there was a full 5-minute report on proceedings in the British House of Commons last night, all about kneecap. You had Labour MPs in the backbenches, Conservatives, Liberal Democrats all joined asking questions of the Government Minister Dan Jarvis what he was planning to do about the rappers, because they've received British taxpayers' money, grants for the film and so on. And there's a lot of questions about whether they should appear at Glastonbury. The minister said it's up to festival organisers to decide that themselves. But it is amazing to hear the story get so much prominence with everything else that's going on. The band apologised in a statement on Monday night, but have also said there's a smear campaign against them by elements of the British press. Along with the apology to the families of the murdered MPs, they clarified they do not support Hamas or Hezbollah. That came after a call from Taoiseach Micheál Martin, as this story really goes out of control, addressing that part of the controversy, which is about their on-stage support for the Palestinian people, and saying they just support that cause, not Hamas and Hezbollah. But in terms of the main apology, Downing Street said it was half-hearted in that BBC report. And in today's Guardian newspaper, where the story continues, I'm reading that Brendan Cox, the husband of the murdered MP Joe Cox, has said the Irish rap trio have offered only half an apology after criticism of Commons. David Amos's daughter, Katie Amos, says the band was gaslighting them because the apology is followed up by claims that there's a smear campaign. Daniel Lambert is the manager of Kneecap, and he was on Primetime last night, and he basically says, look, a video didn't emerge of them saying these horrible things. It's a concerted campaign emanating from the US to analyse every single thing that Kneecap has ever said. The idea that was incitement of violence, these are his words, incitement of violence against an MP is ludicrous. It was taken entirely out of context. They are performers. It's part of a performance. If you were to look at dozens of comedians globally and take six words out of a comedy act and lay them out, you could do that to dozens of people, he said. And I noticed in the Irish Times this morning, the thrust of their article is basically that because the Scottish MPs, independence movement, have united with some of the Tory MPs in their criticism, that that was kind of a game over for Kneecap in terms of how it's landed. The trouble is not over for them yet. All those MPs were lining up to ask the government, basically to join, British government, to join calls for the band to be dropped from Glastonbury. The footage is being assessed by the counter-terrorism police in Britain. A spokesperson for the British Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, said he didn't think individuals expressing these views should be receiving government funding. And the DUP has written to the American Department of Homeland Security and the Canadian Border Services Agency, asking them to take all necessary steps to prevent Kneecap's planned tour from proceeding. That's happening in October. So it is an amazing story, because a year ago, they're the toast of the land. They're at the forefront of the Irish language revival and culture. And today they're fighting fires in every direction. Fires they lit for themselves, really, in that very confused territory they were sitting in, where they felt and claimed at one stage they were ironically outrageous. But the irony has very much turned into the literal. So that is where we will be watching that story with interest as it unfolds over them. Because, as I say, it is growing and growing in the British press at the moment. That's the serious end of business. Back to the comedy of Ireland, which is the political sphere here. They're only back a few hours back in the Dáil, and already there's a row between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Apparently Fine Gael is furious that Fianna Fáil plans to appoint a housing czar at €430,000 a year. It's hard to find out where this phrase housing czar has come from, because I don't think Russian culture is kind of hot right now. But anyone who has any sort of a job, housing czar. This is about the planned appointment of Brendan McDonagh, who is currently the boss of NAMA and a very highly regarded figure there in NAMA. But he's got a big salary and a secondment, because NAMA is about to wind down, the bad bank. Which is triggering enough to be talking about NAMA, to come back in and sort out the housing crisis. And the job descriptions increasingly sound like things we thought the Minister for Housing or the Secretary General of the Department of Housing was doing, which was lifting barriers to the building of housing. And I heard the phrase putting boots on the ground, because everyone just has war metaphors all the time now. But the Minister for Housing, what is it all about? Minister for Housing and the Minister for Sounding Nervous in radio interviews, James Brown. He said he wants to appoint Brendan McDonagh on this, and Fine Gael says they don't know anything about it. Tánaiste Simon Harris was not told who to be appointed before it emerged in the media. And this row goes on, and Simon Harris hasn't said anything out loud himself, but no doubt he will, because he's good at saying words out loud, that's for sure. And I noticed that Mary Lou McDonald had been saving up a phrase for the 2 weeks holidays where she has branded the housing czar role, this is an Irish Examiner headline, they're all at it, an expensive job share. Very good line, isn't it? It's more than the Taoiseach's very generous salary. It's more than the President of the United States is paid. Well, not if you include his cryptocurrency sideshow, if you believe the New York Times at the moment. Mary Lou said it's the equivalent to the starting salary of 11 new nurses, 11 new Gardaí or 13 new special needs assistants. In other words, he's also it's a job share, she's saying, because he's going to take on the responsibility of the Minister for Housing. It's a good line, so we'll see what happens there. They seem to be piling on agencies everywhere where there's a problem. I saw Jim O'Callaghan announcing delays in the immigration appeals process will require another agency to sort out the problems caused by the other state agencies. And the opposition are slowly coming out of the Easter slumber. No such democracy problems across in the Vatican because the conclave is about to start, I think, this day next week, isn't it? Was it the 7th of May, I think, was the date I heard the other day? And the Daily Telegraph, reporting for the Vatican City, say the cardinals have been spotted all around Rome having the kind of pre-conclave conclave. Because when they go into the conclave, they can't speak. It's total silence in the Sistine Chapel. They just do the voting where they announce they're ready to vote and then they do the vote. And apparently it's threaded through red thread and all of that. So at the moment, cardinals are engaged in intense discussion over plates of carbonara and bottles of chilled white wine in a borgo, village-like quarter of cobble lanes, tiny piazza, sounds lovely, and ornate fountains just a few yards from the walls of the Vatican City. They're calling them knocky negotiations or tagliatelle talks. And basically there's 180 cardinals still knocking around the place, but only 120 of them will be able to vote in the conclave. Some of them are removed just because they're over 80. But now the Vatican has also confirmed two older cardinals will not take part of ill health. A third has dropped out because he was convicted of embezzlement, fraud, extortion, money laundering and abuse of office. God, they are very busy, the cardinals, aren't they? And I presume he went to confession and everything, so it's all grand. So basically they have a chat and go, are you voting for me? I'm voting for your man. Are you voting for him? Yeah, we'll have more. Pinot Grigio we'll have over here. I'm doing it in an Irish accent only for performative levels. The Irish cardinals would never be engaged in such a dreadful carry on. They're all very nicely frocked and robed, I noticed, at the funeral. Were they all given matching special ones for the occasion? It was very odd. All the selfies and the priests and so on. But this just brings me nicely to fast fashion. I love a link. And there's an article in the Guardian newspaper which kind of talks about this massive crisis around the disposal of end-of-life textiles. And someone came up with a very good idea. She's a Sheffield-based designer and PhD researcher with a great name, Wendy Ward. And basically what she did, she saw her polycotton bed sheet. She said, that's out of order now. It's the elastics are gone. It's threadbare. She looked at the label. She bought it in Sainsbury's. So she posted it to the Sainsbury's CEO and said, look it, this is a stupid blended fabric sheet. We used to use these sheets, tear them up and use them to dry the dishes or dust things and so on. It's polycotton. It can't be composted. It can't be reused effectively because it has no soakage at all. And it can't be recycled without probably ending up being incinerated or put on a ship and all the emissions and so on. So she posted then and she was unhappy with the response she got, which was just a kind of a boilerplate. Thank you for your time. And so she launched hashtag take it back. And people on Instagram are loving this. Consumers returning unusable textiles to the retailers responsible, saying, you sold it to us. You must have had a plan with what happens to it at the end. And it struck a chord with people online. And there's a huge issue. Charity shops, of course, here as well, overwhelmed with low quality, unsellable clothes because of fast fashion, which has got worse in just the last 5 years during the lockdown purchase and so on. But also the rag merchants, as they're calling them in this article, are the people who recycle or reuse, and they're closing down because it's so expensive to deal with the piles and mountains of clothes. Most of them end up being incinerated, which is turned into electricity, but a lot of it is sent to countries like Ghana or Pakistan. And this article is incredible photographs of mountains of like just shy clothes piled up, some of it smouldering because it's been set on fire. It's a disaster. Pakistan as well, there's a desert in Chile which is full of Christmas jumpers just piled up, and 30,000 tons are dumped every single year. There's a collapse of textile sorting and grading sector across Europe. with only a handful of operators still active. This is fibre to fibre recycling, which is a proper recycling of clothes back into new things. Hardly ever happens now, unless you're doing it piecemeal yourself at home. So the Take It Back campaign, posting it all back to H&M, Zara, Nike, everybody who sells clothes, basically, and let them deal with the, and if it starts mounting there, they might do something about it. And she's just telling people to make sure you track your parcel, so you make sure it lands in the place that it is, and take photographs and all that kind of stuff. So that's where it is at the minute, the fast fashion. No cure at all for it. On the text, someone's listening in from Birmingham. Awfully hot over here, says Jim. Yeah, using very English adverbs. Yes, yeah. We're fans of adverbs ourselves. Actually, we are. Seriously. Really, we are. Listening to you here in the 20-degree sunshine in Paris with my mum, Veronica, and son, Kieran, having the most amazing time in an amazing city. Have a great day there, says Sharon. That sounded like a kind of I know you mean it in a nice way. Yes, absolutely, because it's lovely here. 23 degrees in Dublin, apparently, by the mid-afternoon. Look, it's beautiful this morning. It's 7 o'clock this morning. There's a kind of the dewy grass, and there's a lovely hazy sunshine which will blow out into a lovely bright blue skies. And we'll have to do some kind of summery adjacent music this morning. 0870 32 32 32, that's the WhatsApp, north and south, east and west, whatever you're happening. Put on the sunscreen now, be good to yourself.